Shavua Tov. Good morning, good afternoon, everybody. I hope everybody is doing well, had a nice Shabbat. And as I know, the world is sort of heading quasi back into lockdown and all kinds of crazy things, which hoped we have to hear good news and good things, even though I understand Canada is going to be put on the red list from Israel today. So even Canada is going to join the list where you can't come, even if we invite you, Rabbi Leibtag. But hopefully soon, please God, this will be a much less severe variant. They don't know yet, but let's pray and hope that it is that way and that we should all be well. And now we'll go to number 7 in Vayikra. Rabbi Leibtag, welcome back to Israel. Vakasha.
Okay, thank you, Rabbi. Let me share my screen. And here we are. Okay, so Shemitah number 7 is class 11. But the last 2 weeks, we were talking more about 8 and 7 because we took advantage of the Hanukkah season. And we talked about Hanukkah and from 7 to 8, but primarily Hanukkah. So now we have to go back to the number 7 in our main topic. So just a quick review of what we did in the very beginning. We began with the rhythms of nature and the connection between 7 and nature. And the idea we talked about is that our day-to-day lives are pretty much controlled by the 24-hour day, day and night, like the natural rhythm of the 24-hour day. And just like our individual lives are controlled by the cycles of the 24-hour day with sunrise, sunset, in the same way our agricultural year, our economy and our commerce, our fiscal year, is pretty much set by the seasons, by the 365-day year. But it's not just 365 days, it's the rhythm of spring, fall, winter, spring, summer, fall, the seasons, which affects our economy and affects our day-to-day lives and our schedules. And then what we do, starting with the story of creation, we take a non-natural cycle of 7 and we sort of impose or superimpose a divine cycle of 7 onto the natural cycle of the 24-hour day. And that sort of brings God into our day-to-day life. And just like we bring once every 7 days, we keep Shabbat, we take the natural rhythm of the 24-hour day, we take the natural rhythm of a 365-day year, and we have the Shemitah cycle. That's what we talked about in the very beginning. And that's why the 7 days of creation are coming to set a new cycle, a new rhythm, because in those 7 days of creation, God basically creates what we call nature. It began with things out of order, random. And by the time it's over, by the time 6 days are over, we have what we call nature. We have growth. We have the sun, the moon, the stars, vegetation, animals, basically all the powers of nature. And hence God's name, Elohim, the many powers. There's really one God who made everything. And then that's the background to understanding God's relationship with all civilization and later the making man in God's image with creativity and later a special relationship with Am Yisrael. Now, in light of that, we talked about the connection between Shabbat and Shemitah. That's just the similar words, but basically the concept of separating one day out of a 7 weeks, one day out of 7 days of a week, giving a special status. But the purpose of that separation was for the sake to bring God into the 6 days that we work. In the same way, we make 1 year special, the Shemitah year, and we take the theme of that Shemitah year. And that's going to become the funnel that brings godliness into the 6 years that we're working. Just like Shabbat brings God into the 6 days that we work during the week, Shemitah brings God into the 6 years that we work in our economy. In later shiur, we're going to go back and try to find a deeper meaning to all that. But I just want to do one last review, which I don't think we do too much in detail, because it's going to take us into nature and 7. And it'll take us right into Sefer Vayikra. We're going to start in Shemot. Because after we get the Ten Commandments in Sefer Shemot, we have a unit, which we call Parshat Mishpatim, 3 chapters of laws that sort of take the principles of the Ten Commandments and apply them to day-to-day life. We had a set of jurisprudence, what we call Nizikin laws for Beitin in the first half, the first 2 chapters. And then in chapter 23, the 3rd chapter of Parshat Mishpatim, we go more into ethical laws. And we conclude, even though most of the laws are between God and man, between man and man, The final section leads into the 3 pilgrimage holidays, which is between God and man. So let's just read the ending in chapter 23 in Shemot, Pasachet, not to take shoch, not to take bribes, for shoch lo tikach, ki ashoch ad yaver pichim yisadev divrei tzadikim, just giving examples of laws of ethical behavior. And the grand finale, that unit was v'ger lo tochatz, not to oppress a stranger, and you of all people, You have to learn from your experience in Egypt. You know what it feels like to be a stranger because you were strangers in Egypt. Therefore, don't oppress in your society when you become the powerful one. Don't do what the Egyptians did to you. Now, after finishing that ethical, that set of laws of ethical behavior, we move into Shabbat and Shemitah. And here's the first time we have Shemitah and Chumash. And the main time Shemitah is actually called Shemitah to sort of let go or release. The Shesh Shanim Tisrat Artzecha, 6 years you work your land. I call that, that's our basic national economy on the fiscal year, the agricultural year, because Tisrat Artzecha, that's agriculture. And then you gather your produce, Vasapta Tvota, that's all spring and summer long. In the seventh year, Vashvi, Tishmetenu Tashta, you sort of let go, let it lay fallow. And what do we do with the produce of that year? Bachu Avyane Mecha, the extra produce that you don't need. Remember, you're allowed to eat what you need for your own survival day to time. But the leftovers go for the poor people who don't own land. And the rest let the animals eat, which seems, again, we'll have to talk about this later. It seems the main things that you can take. The purpose of Shemitah is not to feed the poor. There's other laws to take care of the poor. The main law is you can take. A whole year, you can only take as much as you need. And you have basically called no capital gain that year, only survival and basically maintenance. And therefore, the leftovers let poor people eat because they don't own land. And the rest, let the animals eat it. The main thing is you can't take it. So that's 6 years to work. The seventh year, let go and don't work. In a similar manner, you're supposed to work 6 days a week, and the seventh day, you rest. So this was the cycle of the year, the natural cycle of a year, which is the rhythm of nature. And upon that, we impose the seven-year Shemitah cycle, just like the natural cycle of a day. And we impose upon that a divine cycle of seven. Now, I want to show you how this takes us right into agriculture. Why? We have a summary of all the laws of Parshat Mishpatim, all these laws from chapter 12, this is the Ten Commandments. Everything I told you for the Ten Commandments and all the laws of Parshat Mishpatim, make sure to keep. And therefore, don't mention the names of other gods. And this is Elohim, not Elohim. This is, don't mention the names of other gods. Don't mention them. Who are these other gods? I want to suggest it's referring to the gods of nature, rain gods, fertility gods, the Canaanite gods, like Baal and Asherah. Instead, three times a year, I want you to see me. When? On the agricultural times of the year. So, again, we start with Shabbat and Shemitah. But Shemitah here, for Shemitah and then Shabbat. Shemitah is definitely agricultural. And now, to make sure we remember that agriculture is not a function of many gods. Now, there is no rain god or fertility god or grain god or whatever ancient man thought, but rather all those powers of nature, they control your life, but you have to remember that God's in charge of them. And the main thing isn't you have to pray to God for your produce, rather you have to remember that your produce and the welfare of your economy is a function of your deeds. But keep all the laws of Parshat Mishpatim and I'll bless your land. And therefore you come to God on the three pilgrimage holidays. This is Chag HaMatzot, which is when in Chodesh Aviv in the spring, that's the beginning of our grain harvest. And then the Chag Katzir, our grain harvest, what you plant in the field. And then in your fruit harvest, Sukkot time, at the end of the year when you gather all your things from the field. What does God want you to do? These three critical times of the agricultural year, instead of going to other gods, I want to see you. God wants to see you in his office. You come to the Beit HaMikdash and remember not that you have to pray to God for grain, but you have to pray to God to remember that your grain and your agriculture and your economy is a function of your deeds and your society. And that's going to be, we explained before, that's the key difference between Judaism and idol worship. When idol worship, there's powers that are in charge of grain, in charge of nature, and you pray to those powers directly for nature to be on your side, whatever that power might be. And in Judaism, there's one God in charge of all the powers of nature, and we pray to God to remember that he's in charge, but he uses agriculture and nature and natural phenomena. He uses them as a tool either to reward us or punish us based on our behavior, and that theme is all through all the Tochachot and Chumash. We say it every day in Shema. And that becomes a revolutionary idea because then there's a connection between your ethical behavior. If you follow the laws of Parshat Mishpatim, which is primarily how we treat one another in our society, then God will bless the land. And we need to remember three times a year on the critical times that if we want God to bless our land, it's a function of our deeds. Now, if people internalize that idea, that leads to a just society, because then if people want food on the table and want a good, strong economy, and they know that their economy is a function not only of their prayer and their beliefs, or rather their deeds and how they act and the society they build, that should sort of encourage and enhance a just society. And that society is going to represent God. So I use that. That's a summary of what we talked about in the opening shiurim. Hope that's a summary. Now, with that in mind, I want to use that to explain Sefer Vayikra. I mean, not all Vayikra, but one section of Vayikra. But to appreciate it, I need to review quickly something I'm hoping everyone knows, but some people don't. So I want to just review it real quickly. We talked about the cycle of the agricultural year. The biggest difference, what's sort of special about Israel and Israel's economy, as opposed to Egypt, there's no rain all summer long. And therefore, from Pesach to Sukkot, basically, barely doesn't rain. The critical rain is in the beginning of the winter, October, November, December. Anyone who learned Masechet Tanit knows very well. If it doesn't rain in Cheshvan, we go crazy in Kislev. And by the time you get to Tevet, you know, there's fast days and everything. Basically, the outcome of the agricultural year and our sustenance and our life, our drinking water and water for agriculture and for animals, is a function of the rains that fall this time of year in the November, December. If it doesn't rain, it's going to be the consequences can be disastrous. That's why it's not just the rain that's going to take care of the crops now, but rather the rain that fills up the aquifer and our cisterns and things like that. And that's the rain, that's the water we have to drink in the summer. Now, therefore, what do we do? The critical rain comes in the winter, early winter, late fall, early winter. We plant later in the winter, early spring. Remember, Tu B'Shvat is like the sort of the cutoff point between last year and planting for the upcoming year. It's not by chance we plant trees in Tu B'Shvat, which is towards the end of the winter and the end of the rainy season. There's still a month or two to go, but that's when they take root. The grain harvest begins in mid-April to mid-June, which overlaps with Sefirat Omer, as we'll see soon. But there's only 2 months that you can harvest grain in the land of Israel. But it's quite different than the Great Plains in America. We can have two or three or even four sometimes wheat crops a year and barley. In Israel, there's only one harvest a year. In Egypt, there's more than one because of the Nile River gives you water all year long. And therefore, in Israel, the grain harvest is one season, April to June. And then our fruit harvest at the end of the summer that got all its nourishment in the wintertime, but now it gives its fruit in the summer. And the dates, the figs, the grapes, the olives, the shabbamim, they don't need water in the summer, but as long as they have enough water in the winter, they give their fruit in the summer. So all the shoshur gadim relate to that cycle. Now, what are we going to see? In Vayikra today, we're going to see that all the Shalosh Regalim have the number 7 very central in their celebration. And what I want to suggest is because they relate to nature and the recognition that the system that we call nature, the whole system that allows us to do agriculture, is from God. And God created that system and uses that system to reward and punish us based on our society. Therefore, when I celebrate those holidays, the number 7 will be very central. And we'll see that soon in Vayikra. Now, to see that in Vayikra, first I have to do a quick overview of Sefer Vayikra, which is that could be a whole series. I'm assuming you've read the book before, you're familiar. I just want to give a quick overview of Vayikra, and then we'll focus in on Parshat Emor. So Vayikra has two key sections, in case you didn't notice. Part one, the first 17 chapters. Basically, now that the Mishkan is built in Sefer Shemot, we build the Mishkan. Sefer Vayikra, we use the Mishkan. If you want to make a nice differentiation between Shemot and Vayikra. Shemot finishes when the Mishkan is built and constructed. Now that we have a symbol of God's presence in our camp, in our midst, now how do you use the Mishkan? So the first 5 chapters, the first 7 chapters basically, but basically the first 5 is man can come close to God. You can bring voluntary offerings. Here's what you can bring in the first 3 chapters called Korban Nedavah. And then sometimes you have to bring an offering if you unintentionally did something wrong. That's called Korban Chovah, or mandatory offerings. And then there's how to bring those offerings. That's Parshat Tzav, where there's laws for how the Kohanim bring each type of Korban. The details in Sefer Vayikra. after we have those laws about how to use the Mishkan, we sort of take a tangent and we go back to the story of dedicating the Mishkan. And even though the laws, the commandment to dedicate the Mishkan, are the 7 days of Miluim, the 7 day inaugural ceremony, the 8 days inaugural ceremony, the 7 days of getting it ready and practicing, putting it together and training the Kohanim, those 7 days, the commandment was given in Parshat Tetzaveh. For some reason, the execution of those 7 days is recorded in Sefer Vayikra. And again, it relates to the number seven and this idea of nature, as we'll see. The number seven is going to be very central in establishing the Mishkan. When we go back to Sefer Shemot, closer to when we study Sefer Shemot and Parshat Shavua, we're going to see how the number seven is central in the Mishkan itself and all the laws of Tumah and Tahara. But for now, we just mentioned seven is central here in the 7 days of Miluim, which leads into eight, which very much similar to what we saw with Hanukkah. We're eight, like the eighth day after nature. Then we have the eighth day, Brit Milah, with our special connection with God, picking the Jewish people. And then we have 7 days, and then the eighth day, now begins our special relationship with God in the Mishkan. Quickly then, after we have how to use the Mishkan and making it functional, then we have when man cannot come close to God, temporarily when you're sort of, you're not allowed to come to God, or basically how you contract Tumah. Tumah meaning you're, I wouldn't call it impure, but you're not allowed to come to the temple when you have Tumah. So how do you become Tameh and how do you get rid of your Tumah? That's chapters 11 to 7 to 15. And there's so many Tumot that deal with the number 7. Sarat, for example, Tumat Mate, which is in Bamidbar, but Zav and Zavah, all these natural cycles, like the cycle of Anida, the menstrual cycle, is again related to the number 7 and counting 7 days and 7 days of Tahara for Sarat, all these different things. The whole process of returning to God, again, centers around the number 7. We're not going to do that today, even though it's in Vayikra, because first we have to go back and see it and back in Sefer Shemot when we built the Mishkan. The ultimate is when in general, you can never go to the Kodesh Kodeshim, the Holy of Holies, except in Yom Kippur. So the topic of Yom Kippur is there. And chapter 17 has to do with respecting the temple, but not our topic today. That's part one, again, about how and when to use the Mishkan. Now that God's presence is felt, is symbolized or felt in the center of our camp, instead of God being in a cage and God's only in the center of the Mishkan and in the Mikdash, the whole idea of a Mishkan at the center of our camp is that for it to emanate to our day-to-day life in the camp. In other words, we have a Mishkan at the center. God makes that special, that area special, Kedushat Makom, it's called. And the purpose of Kedushah in the center of the camp is for it to emanate outside and have an effect on our lives, in our day-to-day life, either in the camp of Israel in the desert or in the land of Israel, once we come to the land of Israel. And then we have Kedushah in three realms, Kedushah in the realm of man. Therefore, we have how we have to behave. God has a relationship with all humans, but he separated one people to serve him, to represent him. That's Kedushim to you, because you're Kadosh. Therefore, you have to act special. That's the laws in chapter 19. But there's also how you shouldn't behave. So basically in chapters 18, 19, and 20, with 19 at the center, is how you should behave. And of course, how you shouldn't behave. That was chapters 18 and 20. Laws primarily about about improper relationships and things like that. And then just like there's special laws for an Am Kadosh, there's special laws for a nation representing God. There's special laws for the Kohanim. Am Yisrael is a Mamlechet Kohanim, representing God to other nations. They have special laws in chapters 18 through 20. The special laws for the Kohanim themselves, who represent God, who serve God, for Am Yisrael themselves. And then basically this whole section becomes Dusha in the realm of man. And and because you're representing God, you're held to a higher standard. You have special laws. Then we have Dusha in the realm of time, which is our topic today, the Moedim. And then we have Dusha in the realm of space, which is going to be Shemitah in the land of Israel. So I just want to give this, and then there's an epilogue at the end about man offering himself. If we had time, we'd give a whole shiur on Vayikra, but I only want to focus today on chapter 23. So I did that quick overview of Sefer Vayikra, just to get our feet wet in the book. But I want to talk about the centrality of the number 7 in the realm of Kedushah, the realm of time, or what we call the Moedim. Of course, the biggest topic will be Kedushah, the realm of space, with the laws of Shemitah in chapter 25 and 26. But as a first step today, I want to begin with Dushan, the realm of time, because we need that first to appreciate what's going to be Dushan, the realm of space. Okay, so that's our background. And now we're going to take a look at chapter 23. Okay, now this is the reason why I gave the introduction from Parshat Mishpatim, where we have the pilgrimage holidays, very basic, very general, that three times a year on the critical times of the agricultural cycle, in the beginning of the spring, when grain begins to grow, and at the end of your grain harvest, in the beginning of your fruit harvest, Shavuot, or Chag HaKatzir, and the end of your fruit harvest, Chag HaSif, which is the beginning of next year's rainy season, those critical times of the year, God wants you to be seen. You go visit God to remember those values. That was the short version. In Parshat Emor, we're going to get a detailed set of laws about how we celebrate the holidays. So that was the connection between what we saw in Sefer Shemot, chapter 23, to Vayikra, chapter 23. Just by chance, they're both chapter 23, but I think that's by chance because the chapter division is not Jewish. Now, later, if we have time, we'll check the connection to chapter 24 and lighting the menorah. Now, what's special about Parshat Emor, it's the first time we have the holidays with the lunar calendar. Because we have the Shosh Galim. We had them the first time in Parshat Mishpatim, but we had no dates. We just said a spring holiday coinciding with the date we leave Egypt. But the Chag Katzir and Chag HaSif were agricultural dates, agricultural times of year, with no specific dates. Now in Parshat Emor, we're going to have a lunar calendar. In fact, we're going to have a sort of a blending between the lunar calendar and the solar calendar. Now, the neighborhood holidays we'll see are called Moadim, or set times to meet. And we have to see all the holidays have something in common, but each one has something special. And when we talk about what's special about each holiday, we have to look at the number 7. So let's begin now with Vayikra Perek Chaf Gimel. And first we're going to read it from the Tanakh. And then we're going to, after we read it from the Tanakh, we're going to take it inside. And there's our sources over there. Okay, so let's get to work. Share our screen and we open up Chumash, but let's use an English Hebrew one, right? English Hebrew, Leviticus, better known as Vayikra, chapter 23. Okay. we'll talk about the structure of the unit in a minute. I just want to look at the opening ones. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe l'emor. Dabrel b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem, Moadei Hashem. Now the word Moed, the shorash of the word Moed is Vad, Vav Ayin Dalet, which means to meet. But whenever you meet someone, you have to set a time. So these are times that we meet God. For example, the Ovel Moed is a tent of meeting. Again, the word Vad is to meet, like a Vad, Vad HaKashrut, or Vida is a conference. So a Moed is a set time to meet, and there are times that we meet God. We talked about that back in Parshat Mishpatim, and now we're going to get details of how we do it. Now, what's special about them? Because now we're introducing this in the lunar calendar, Asher Tikru Otam B'Mikrei Kodesh Elohim Moadai. Unlike Shabbat, where once we began keeping Shabbat, remember in with the story of the man, the first Shabbat was the 22nd day of Iyar, 22nd day of the second month when we left Egypt, in the story of the man. Ever since then, last 4,000 or 5,000 years, we've been keeping Shabbat every 7 days. Has nothing to do with the moon, with history. It's just every 7 days, it's Shabbat. It's rather amazing. We've kept that for a long time and haven't missed one. Now, unlike that, the holidays, the Moadim, are set times. We decide when they are. How do we decide? Because we decide when Rosh Chodesh is. Now, we don't have too much of room to make decisions because we have to do it with the new moon. And either the month can be 29 or 30 days. So we have room on our calendar to play with it a little bit, but we still decide when Rosh Chodesh is, and therefore the holidays are built on the lunar calendar. We basically go out and decide when they're celebrated. Now, but the name Mikrei Kodesh, I want to talk about, the Mikra means to call out. I'll give you an example. See the word Mikra? Mikro is to call someone. So if I go quickly and take a look in Sefer Bamidbar, in Sefer Bamidbar, where are we? Where's my Chumash? Here we go. In Sefer Bamidbar, chapter 10. Just I want to show you the word Mikra to understand the simple meaning of the word. God tells Moshe, make two trumpets. Aseh decha shnei chasov kesef, miksha, tasa otam. Vayu lecha lemikra ha'idah, ulmasat ha'machanot. That's for calling out to the camp. What's that mean? V'teku b'hem, if you blow one tkiah, who gathers together? V'do adu. See a moed gathering together? They meet, the entire Eidah meets in front of the camp. If you only blow one tkiah, only the leaders come. But if you do a truah, then it's time to travel. But basically, the Mikra Eidah, if you want to have an assembly, when you want people to assemble together, you call out for them together. So Mikra is a time to call out to the people to gather. And the goal of Yom Tov is basically for people to gather together. That's why we go to shul. But the main idea of Mikra Kodesh is a time we call out. We have basically a national, or at least a community gathering. And then we talk about the themes of our okay, what's that? Take the question from Jennifer. What's special about the lunar versus solar calendar? Okay, we'll talk about the how we bring the two calendars together. We'll see very soon. So again, I just brought the Psukim in Sefer Bamidbar simply to point out what the word Mikra means. Let's go back and go to Vayikra Chav Gimel. So God says, Mikrei Kodesh. These are Moadim. These are the set times. And then we have almost a contradiction. Because I said, what's special about Mikrei Kodesh? We decide when they start. It's a national gathering. Then we say every 6 days you keep Shabbat. Every 6 days you work. And every seventh day you keep Shabbat. And you can't do any work on those days. Now, at first it sounds like a contradiction. But then when you keep on reading, you see, Ela Moadei Hashem. These are the Moadim. So basically, this section is parenthetical. And then we have our lunar calendar. The first month, on the 14th day of the month, is Pesach. We bring Korban Pesach. On the 15th of the month, is Chag HaMatzot. And then we have the first day, and then for our topic today, what do we do? Shivat Yamin. 7 days, we keep Chag HaMatzot. On the first day and seventh day, we have a special gathering, Mikra Kodesh. Now, why is Chag HaMatzot 7 days? There's no obvious reason in Chumash. Even when we came out of Egypt, God said, keep it for 7 days. And way before we left Egypt, way before there was, you know, splitting in the sea or anything, because it's Chag Aviv, it's a spring holiday, it has to be 7 days. Because again, it relates to nature and the cycle of nature, the rhythm of nature that begins in the spring. We want to make sure to remember that God is behind all the powers of nature, and therefore it's going to be seven. Now, I'm going to go back to this opener and share with you something. Now we can go to our regular source sheet. Now that our Chumash is over, let's take a look. What do we have? I formatted it this way. That tells Moshe, Tabane Israel, these are the Moadim that you have to call. In parentheses, you work 6 days a week and the seventh day you rest. In parentheses. And then these are the Moadim. Now, for what reason, why am I making Shabbat a parenthetical introduction? Now, you talk about this every Shabbat when you make Kiddush. I'm not sure if you're aware, but these are the Eilam Moadei Hashem, Mikrei Kodesh. These are the set times that we have holidays. Now, if you ask anybody, what's more important, Shabbat or Yom Tov? Okay? Most people will say, now, Yom Tov always seems to be more important. More people come to shul on Yom Tov than Shabbos. But when we make Kiddush every Friday night, what are we saying? When we make Kiddush every Friday night, first we thank, we welcome our hosts. Remember Shabbat HaMakah? We welcome Shabbat. And we thank God who invited, who brought that host. And then we praise Shabbat with three different praises. Remember what we say? What's special about Shabbat? We say, we thank God who, you know, gave us mitzvot. The Shabbat Kodesh, he gave us Shabbat, he gives us Ba'ava. And what's special about Shabbat? There's three praises. Remember them? Shabbat is Zecher L'Maseh Bereshit, isn't it? When we keep Shabbat, it reminds us of creation. That's the Ten Commandments in Sefer Shemot. It's Zecher Yitzeat Mitzrayim. That's the Ten Commandments in Sefer Dvarim. And what else do we say in between? It's Tchila L'Mikrei Kodesh. Remember remembering that in Kiddush? Ki Yom Tchila L'Mikrei Kodesh? Ralph, we all know it by heart. What are we referring to? What's the Bobshat? Shabbat is Tchila L'Mikrei Kodesh. That's exactly these lines in Sefer Vayikra. You follow? One praise is from Shemot, the Ten Commandments. One praise is from Devarim, the Ten Commandments. The middle one is from Vayikra. In fact, it goes in order. Shemot, Vayikra, Devarim. Now, we're praising Shabbat. We're making a toast to Shabbat. We're welcoming Shabbat. And therefore, we're saying how great Shabbat is. Shabbat reminds us of creation. It reminds us of the purpose of the Exodus. But in the meantime, it's before it introduces the holidays. What we're going to see, it overrides the holidays. Shabbat is more important than Yom Tov. We know that because the laws of Shabbat override Yom Tov. We know we're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. What might somebody think? Somebody might think that if Yom Tov is more important and it's okay to cook on Yom Tov, maybe Yom Tov overrides Shabbat. And if Shabbat and Yom Tov come out in the same day, maybe it would be okay to cook. So before I have the laws of Yom Tov, I'm just explaining a Ramban. Before we have the laws of Yom Tov, let's look at our screen again. What happens? Let's take a look again. What does God say? Coming up are the Moedim of Hashem. Before we start the Moedim, we talk about Shabbat. And Shabbat, you can't do any work. We'll see Kol Melacha as opposed to Melachet Avodah, we'll see soon. You can't do any work. And now these are the Moedim, the first month, 14th day, 15th, and we'll see the lunar calendar. So the way the Ramban explains this is that this is coming to tell you that Shabbat overrides Yom Tov, even though you might think otherwise. But we talk about in Kiddush that it's Chilad Mikra Kodesh, the introduction to Mikra Kodesh is Shabbat. Now, I want to suggest an additional reason. Because almost all the Mikra Kodesh all revolve around the number 7. The 7 days of Chag HaMatzot, we'll see the 7 days of Chag HaSukkot, the 7 weeks between Pesach and Shavuot. So in fact, Shavuot is called weeks. So Chag HaMatzot is 7 days. The first day and seventh day are special. Then we have 7 weeks, the Chag HaKatzir, Chag Shavuot, and we call it weeks. So number 7 is central in that holiday. Then we have Chag HaSif, which is Sukkot, which is 7 days. We have the special days of 7 days of the Sukkah. And then in the seventh month, we have all the, what's called the Rosh Hashanah and Kippur holidays. So the number 7 is key in all the holidays in all these Moedim. So this is only telling you that Shabbat is more important. It's coming to explain to you why the number 7 is so central in the Moedim. Because it all goes back to creation. For the same reason, we have to remember that God created everything once a week. We have to remember when we celebrate our agricultural holidays. It's just like in our day-to-day lives, we have to remember 7. In our yearly, in our economic calendar, in our fiscal year, we have to remember God behind our economy as well. And hence, the number 7 is key in all the holidays. So what I want to suggest is this little introduction of Sheshet Yamim is not just that Shabbat overrides Yom Tov, but it's more than that. It's going to be the background to why all the holidays revolve around the number 7. Now, I want to bring an example of this idea that Shabbat overrides Shabbat can override other laws. Because this format in Baikra Perach of Gimel, it's just like the beginning of Parshat Vayakel. If I go back again to Sefer Shemot, Bible, Exodus, chapter 25. Here we are. Chapter 35. Parshat Vayakel. Remember how it begins? Moshe gathers together all the congregation and tells them, Eile hadvarim asher tziva Hashem lasot otam. Here's what God commanded to do. It's clearly referring to the Mishkan. Everyone knows if you know the Gemara in 7th paragraph in Shabbat, Eile hadvarim, that's how we learn. Eile is 36 in Gematria, and Dvarim is at least 2, and Hey is 3. So that's how we learn 39 Melachot. That's a beautiful drash. But Pshat of the Pasuk, Eile hadvarim is not referring to Shabbat and what you can't do, because Eile asher tziva Hashem lasot otam. And it's talking about, when Moshe says in a minute, Zeh ha-davar asher tziva Hashem l'mor. Okay, make basically all the parts of the Mishkan. And what's it say? Baitzuka adat. And basically it's everything today. Everything is vasita, vasita, vasita. The whole Mishkan is doing. Where is the word I need? Okay. I'm sorry. That's perfect. Got it? All wise men, with a wise heart, I'm sorry. All capable people should come and do. So from Pasuk Aleph, I need to go right to Pasuk Gimel. Got it? Moshe gathers, here's what God wants you to do. And God tells Moshe, Moshe tells the people, here's Zedavar Shir Siva Hashem Lemor, and here's what you need to do. Here are the materials and do it. Before we talk about what you need to do, what is parenthetically saying? Even though we're building a house for God, remember that you can only work on the Mishkan 6 days a week, but Shabbat overrides building the Mishkan. What did we learn from here? That construction of the Mishkan is not Bilchei Shabbat. And therefore, you're allowed to work on the Mishkan 6 days a week, even though you're doing God's work, not your work. You can't do construction of the Mishkan on Shabbat. So it's just like, see the same idea? I introduce a topic, parenthetically Shabbat, to tell me Shabbat overrides construction of the Mishkan, even though you're working for God. And then we have the laws of the Mishkan. But just like by the Moedim, the number 7 is going to be central when we actually build the Mishkan, when we get to the 7 days of Miluim, the 7 branches of the menorah. There'll be a technical reason, but a much deeper reason when we do that in detail. Okay, let's check the chat real fast, then we'll get back to work. A 7 second. At the end of Pasuk 2, it says, Elohim Moedai. We'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to Pasuk Bet in a minute. So if 7 is so important, we have a fixed calendar. No doubt about the holiday Chag Mishim be in diaspora. Wait, good communication. No doubts about when the holiday Chag shouldn't be in diaspora also. I'm not sure. iPad, I'll get back to your question at the end of the class. I'm not sure what you're referring to. Okay, let's continue now. And, our main source sheet. Here we go. So I was trying to show you that these are the Moedim. We work 6 days a week, and we reintroduce the Moedim. Someone asked, why do we have about them. Moedei Hashem Asher Tikrotem B'Kerikot Ein LeMoedai. This introduction is taking me right to, let me annotate here to highlight this. Now that I got all these nice tools here. Ein Lehem Moedai is Ein LeMoedei Hashem. This is parenthetical. That was your question, right? Moedei Hashem, we have to call them out. These are Moedim. Pasuk Gimel is parenthetical. And I pick up where I left off. Ela Moedei Hashem, Ela Moedei, Ela Moedei Hashem. So Shabbat is not a Moed. It can't be a Moed because we don't call it out. Shabbat is going to be called a Shabbaton. It's a time of rest, but the Moedim, Shabbat is not a Moed. No. It's a Mikra Kodesh. It's time we gather together. Shabbat is a Mikra Kodesh, right? Yom HaShvi'i, Shabbat, Mikra Kodesh. We gather together in Shabbat and study Torah, but it's not a Moed. So now let's continue and clear my drawings. Okay. Now, notice the calendar now. Now, how does the lunar calendar match the solar calendar? Everyone knows that if the first month has to be in the spring, remember Shmort Chodesh Aviv, and if 12 months passed and we didn't reach the spring equinox, we had a month. That's called Ibur HaShana. Now, all the holidays in Parsha, in Vayikra Chav Gimel, in Parsha Demor, have something they all share in common and something special about each one. First of all, almost all of them have lunar dates. We'll talk about Shavuot in a minute. But the first holiday is Dafka Pesach, which is almost parenthetical. But the main holiday on the 15th of the month is Chag HaMatzot. And what do? Eat matzah for 7 days. What do we do on the first day? Number one, there's 3 things. It's a Mikra Kodesh, Yelachem. It's a time of gathering. You can't do Melechet Avodah. You can't do work. We'll talk about what defines work here in a minute. And you bring a Korban to God. Well, we're going to find in all the holidays, we have all 3 phrases. It's Mikra Kodesh, the Moedim are times to gather. It's a time set aside to gather to talk about the theme of the holiday, have a national or community gathering. We don't do any work, and we bring a Korban to God. Let's work backwards. V'kraftei mishad l'Hashem, if you click on this in a with a hypertext, this would take you right to Parshat Pinchas. What is the Korban that the nation brings on the holidays? The details you'll find in Parshat Pinchas and Sefer Bamidbar. That's 2 parim and 1 ayo, 7 kvasim, sir lachatat. That's all we know by heart from chapters 28 and 29 in Sefer Bamidbar. Why those laws of Bamidbar, not in Vayikra, separate topic, but not for now. But there's no doubt the Krafti Mishael Hashem is referring to the laws in Sefer Bamidbar. The Pesukim are explicit. Now, let's go back to Kol Melechet Avodah. Shabbat, we said, was Kol Melecha. No work can be done. On Shabbat, on holidays, Kol Melechet Avodah. Again, I'm going to follow Ramban. Ramban says, he calls this Melecha Shevasadot, work in the field, but I want to call this a bank holiday. Meaning, on Shabbat, when we don't work, when we refrain from work on Shabbat, that creates Shabbat. When we do Shvitat Malacha, when we hold back from doing any work, we stop all creativity on Shabbat. Remember that God gave us creativity. So by holding back from creativity on Shabbat, that creates the atmosphere of Shabbat, that makes Shabbat. And not working on Shabbat is the essence of Shabbat. On Yom Tov, not working enables Shabbat. And basically, the banks are closed, or the marketplace is closed. If you live in the Teaneck area, or Brigham County, it's called Blue Laws, where shopping malls have to be closed. Not just banks, but all commerce is closed down, except for necessities. And therefore, in order for people to gather, if it's a work day, if the marketplace is open, it wouldn't be Mikra Kodesh. So whenever you have the word Mikra Kodesh, Yalachem, it's always followed by Kol Melechat Avodah. What I'm trying to explain is that there's a linkage between a time of gathering, we call it people to gather, and the bank holiday, you can't do any work in the field. Basically, your commerce is closed down for the day, what they call in English a bank holiday. Banks are closed, the marketplace is closed, no work is done, and that enables people to gather because if businesses were open, people would be running their businesses. In order to enable people to gather and talk about the theme of Yom Tov, the marketplace has to be closed. So it's not holding back from work, creating the atmosphere of Shabbat, like what happens in Shabbat, but rather holding back from work enables, doesn't create Yom Tov, it enables Yom Tov. Yom Tov will be gathering together and talking about what the theme of the holiday is. And on those days, we bring special korbanot, we'll talk about later. Now, what's the first holiday? For 7 days, we eat matzah, right? On the last day, on the seventh day, we have a special, we have a holiday, a mikra kodesh, on the first day and the seventh day. Again, why 7 days? Because it's the Aviv, it's the spring. And because it's the spring, it relates to the beginning of nature and the cycles of nature that continues. Now, what's really interesting, when you look at Parsha Demor, in fact, let me give you, I'll show you this in a minute, but let me show you in a regular Hebrew Tanakh. Let me open this up. Where are we? I had one before. I'll use this one. We want this. We don't want this one. We want this one. I thought it was open, but it's not. Okay. In Sefer Vayikra, Tanakh, Vayikra, Chaf Gimel. And we'll do a Gersama for a second. There we go. Remember, these are the parshiot, which help us identify units. So we have the introduction with the parenthetical Shabbat over here. Then we have Pekeh Be'et Eilam Modei Hashem, and we have the laws of Chag HaMatzot. Now, really, this is almost all these laws we had beforehand in Parshat Bo by themselves. Now we have it in the framework of the Shalosh Torgalim. Now, what I want to claim is this next section, there's next two parshiot from Pasuk Tet to Chabet. This is going to be an insert because there's no lunar date for Shavuot. So we're going to skip this in a minute. I want to pick up from Pasuk Gimel. How does Rosh Hashanah begin? By Dabar Hashem Hashanah Emor, Dabar B'nei Yisrael, B'chodesh HaShvi, B'chad HaChodesh, Yelchem Shabbaton, Zichron Torah, Mikra Kodesh. On the first day of the seventh month, a special gathering. You can't do any work. And B'chad HaShem, again, all three things. There was, what's common between what we call Rosh Hashanah, what Chumash calls Zichron Torah. What's special about this holiday? It's a Mikra Kodesh, like all of them. Mikra Kodesh is all of them. And therefore, Kol Melech, you can't do work, and you bring a special Korban. What's special? It's Zichron Torah. What that means, it's a time, do we have to remember to blow shofar? Do we blow shofar to remember? It's real simple. We blow shofar to remember that God's judging us based on our deeds. Now, why is there a holiday in the seventh month? Of course, the number seven itself is important. It's the seventh month. But also, the seventh month is a month before the rainy season. And if the rainy season is going to determine an agricultural year, an agricultural economy in the land of Israel, who's going to live and who's going to die is going to be determined by the rainfall. A month before the rainfall begins, we have to declare that our rainfall is in the hands of God. And God gives us rain based on our deeds. That's what we say every day in Shema. Remember, Shema Tishmo v'natati mitar tzchem b'ito. You're on makosh if you don't listen. Batsar tzar shemaim v'lo yem matar. And therefore, we need to remember that and internalize that. And we spend a whole month of remembering that God's in charge of nature. And he judges us based on our deeds. Therefore, it's a day of judgment. Then we have to ask for forgiveness. We have the deen of Yom Kippur. But the reason why this time of year, the reason why it's the beginning of the year and we're being judged, because even though it appears as though nature's judging us, we're going a month before nature judges us and saying God is behind nature, and hence the seventh month will be dedicated to all these holidays. Then we have the week in between, and then we have Yom Kippur. Now, then we get to Sukkot. What happens? God tells Moshe, on the 15th day, again, a lunar day, on the seventh month, Chag Sukkot Shivat Yamim. Why 7 days? The only logical reason for 7 days is because it's an agricultural holiday. And therefore, on the first day, we make a Mikra Kodesh. And then 7 days, we bring a special Korban to God. And the eighth day will be something special. That's going to go back. We'll appreciate that much better when we do the 7 days of Miluim and Yom HaShmini. You can't miss the parallel between Yom HaShmini, dedicating the Mishkan, and Yom HaShmini of Shmini Atzeret, after the 7 days, after the cycles of seven, the eighth. Remember, the 7 days of Sukkot will be more universal, and the eighth day will be special for Am Yisrael. Why we summarize the Moedim here, we'll talk about later. And then we go back and have more laws of Sukkot, even on the 15th day of the month, when we gather our produce. We have, again, a holiday of 7 days. The first day is Shabbaton, the last day of Shabbaton. And then we take things from nature that deal with water. Remember the Priyas Hadar, Kapot Barim, Anafi Tzavot, Arbei Nachal. And we have a holiday again for how many? For 7 days. With the symbols from nature. We call the Arba Minim, the four species. Again, we take this Chag Lashem Shivat Yamim. Chukat L'medorotechem, Bachodesh HaShvi'i Techog Oto. So you have 7th month, 7 days. Sukkot Tishvu Shivat Yamim. Hope my point's clear. The number 7 is the star of chapter 23. Why? There's no doubt the overall topic of chapter 23 is nature. It's going to be the spring holiday, the grain harvest, the fruit harvest, and the 7th month will be looking forward to the upcoming rainy season, which is the beginning of the next agricultural year. And then, so everything has to do with nature, and therefore everything revolves around the number 7, and the understanding that this, what we call nature, which appears to have many powers, is really one power, all from God, and God's going to use that. Now we have to thank God for making nature. We have to recognize why he gave us the ability to have this commerce, to have an agriculture, what we do with it, and remember that God judges us based on our deeds. Now, I want to go now and focus on this insert here. What does God say? Let's read the beginning of what we call Shavuot, and pay careful attention. Remember, all the Moedim have a lunar date. Let me go back and do a different shear here real fast. Let me show you. I have this highlighted this way. This was the last line of Chag HaMatzot. Okay, this insert from Pasuk Tet to Chabet of what we call Shavuot, Sfirat HaOmer. And then we pick up again with on the 7th month on the first day. But I want to show you, for some reason, there's no lunar date for Shavuot. But there's a good reason why there's no lunar date, because it has nothing to do with the moon. Let me explain why. What I want to say is this unit from Pasuk Tet to Chabet could be anywhere in Chumash. It's inserted, Chumash inserts it in the middle of the Moedim. And that's why I need a new Dibor when it's over. And that's why there's a Dibor in the beginning. There's a Dibor in the very beginning, introducing the holidays. Everything should be within that Dibor. But for some reason, I have an insert. Let me give you an example of what I mean. If I go back to Sefer Bamidbar and look at the Mikrei Kodesh, the Vikrafta Me, the Shel Hashem, if I go to Sefer Bamidbar, chapter 28, you can double check it later on your own. You open up chapter 28, what happens? By Daber Hashem and Moshe Demor, God speaks to Moshe saying, Sabe Bisar Bamata Lehem, at Korbani Lachmi, and then first the daily Korban, followed by Shabbat, a double thing, and on Rosh Chodesh, a special Korban. Let me do the special Korban on Rosh Chodesh. There's a Dibur in the very beginning, followed by the daily calendar, Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh, and then what we call Chag HaMatzot, Yom HaBikurim, and we continue into Perek Chavtet, the 7th month, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the 7 days of Chag HaSukkot, and Shmini Atzeret. It's all one Dibur. God, it says, Elo tasur lechem amadechem. I'm sorry, what's it say at the end? Elo tasur ba'odechem, levad midirchem, midirvatechem. That's what you do on these, on the modechem. That's the link to modeh Hashem. These are, whatever it says, is referring to this. But God started speaking in Perek Chavchet and hasn't, there's no new Dibor. It's all one Dibor until the beginning of Perek Lamed. What does Moshe do? The chapter division is wrong here. This should be the last line of chapter 29. God told Moshe, when God finishes commanding Moshe, Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael everything that God commanded him. And that's the end of the Parshia. You follow? Therefore, all the holidays, one Dibor. In the Moedim in Emor, when I go back to Parshat Emor, let's go back here to Vayikra. When I go back here to Emor, what do I find? There's one Dibur in the beginning that takes me up until, there's one Dibur in the beginning. Dibur here that takes me with the header and Chagamatzot. I have a new Dibur that introduces counting the Omer in 7 weeks. And I have another Dibur when I go back and pick up with Rosh Hashanah. And then again, a special one for Yom Kippur and Sukkot. But instead of all the Moedim being in one Dibur, this one inserted Dibur that doesn't have a lunar date. And I want to show you, this could be anywhere, this could stand alone. So we're going to read it now together and see how it stands alone. Let's open up an English Hebrew Tanakh here, Leviticus 23, verse 9. Let's take a quick look, make it bigger, and move your pictures up here. Okay. Vayedaber Hashem Moshe l'emor. Daber b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem, ki tavo al haaretz, when you come to land, which I'm giving you, uksatem ksira, when you begin your grain harvest, which is sometime in the spring. There's no exact date because it depends on the season. It could be end of March, early April. But when the grain harvests begin, when the grain begins to become harvestable, what do you do? The very first sheaves of barley, because barley comes out before wheat, the very first sheaves of barley that you begin to harvest, you take your very first one, the first sheaf of barley, and you wave it, and you call it Omer, without going to the why it's called Omer now. We wave it in front of God. When? Mimochrat HaShabbat. Totally ambiguous what that means, Mimochrat HaShabbat. What Shabbat is that referring to? But it's not Shabbat of Chol HaMoed. This stands alone, has nothing to do now with Chag HaMatzot. Means when do you do this? When you come in the land, and you what? And you bring in your harvest. Whenever you begin your harvest, you bring this Korban after the first Shabbat. Now, why is Shabbat? What's Shabbat have to do with waving the Omer and waving? Because it's a holiday that relates to agriculture and nature. Of course it relates to Shabbat. Our very first Shabbat, remember that we did this show way back about Omer. Omer goes back to the manna. Remember the Omer was the measure that we used to collect we measured and collected our manna in the desert. And in the desert, our food was from God. It's Lechem Min HaShamayim in the land of Israel. We gathered ourselves our grain, and we're going to treat our grain as though it's manna from God. Therefore, we call it Omer. And to make that statement, we talk about Omer for all the 7 weeks of the grain harvest season. But during that season, everything revolves around the number 7 because the first Shabbat experience was with the manna and the Omer. And therefore, don't be surprised that we're going to count weeks and not just days. And don't be surprised we wave it Melchata Shabbat, whatever Shabbat referring to here. Now, but it's unclear what Shabbat we're talking about, but there's no necessary linkage between Chag HaMatzot and the Omer, other than the fact that Chag HaMatzot has to be in the Aviv in the spring. And then what do? When we bring the Omer, you bring a special Korban with it, and then you don't need anything for the new fruit, from the new grain, until you bring this Korban. That's called Chadash. Now, then, after you bring the Korban, it becomes Yashan. And then we count for 7 weeks, which happens to be the 7 weeks of the grain harvest, 7 weeks, Sheva Shabbatot. Again, because of agriculture, the number 7 is the star here, an idea of a week. And then when it's all done, we bring a special Korban. And then on the day when the 7 weeks are over, on the 50th day, you have a Mikra Kodesh again. You can't do any work. And we have the special Korban we brought before, and we don't do work. Now, out of place here, but this is the whole thing we talked about from the beginning. After we bring this, after the 7 weeks of our grain harvest, what do you have to remember? When we do our grain harvest, don't take everything for yourself, remember? Leave over, leket, shicha, and peya, leave over for the poor people, like what Miguel Ruth is about, leave it for the poor, the needy, the stranger, the widow, because they don't own land. And the way you thank God is not by saying thank you, but acting thank you. And therefore, we're going to repeat a law right out of Parshat Doshim to you. We're going to repeat it here as a reminder that you're not just waving the omer so God gives you a grain harvest, but you're waving the omer to remember to be worthy of a good grain harvest. You have to be like Boaz, and when you bring in your harvest, you have to be thoughtful of those who are less fortunate. Now, what I want to go back to now is my little drawing here from before and try to make my point. Because the laws of Omer, which could stand alone, they're not part of a lunar calendar. There can't be a lunar date for Shavuot because it depends on when Rosh Chodesh comes out that month, but it's 50 days later. You can't have a date on the third month on the sixth day celebrate Shavuot. By definition, it's impossible because you don't know what day Rosh Chodesh is going to come out. You have Rosh Chodesh Iyar and Rosh Chodesh Sivan in between. But Shavuot is 50 days later when you start counting. But these laws are inserted. What does Chumash do? Chumash inserted this into Perachav Gimel. Because Chumash inserts the laws of Omer in the Moedim, what does Chazal learn from there? God wants us to link the Omer with the Moedim. And therefore, when do we start waving the Omer? We say Shabbat is going to be the Shabbat of the first day of Pesach. Because on the first day of Chag, I'm sorry, first day of Chag HaMatzot, because the first day of Chag HaMatzot is a day that you don't do any work, I can refer to it as Shabbat, but Chumash is leaving that up to the rabbis to decide. Chumash isn't telling you what day to start counting, but the rabbis take a hint from Chumash because Chumash inserts the laws of Sefirat HaOmer in the middle of the Moedim. It has to be linked to the Moedim. And therefore, Chazal decided that Shabbat must be referring to the first day of Yom Tov, which is perfectly logical. And that's our minhag. Of course, the Tzadikim disagreed, and they do Shabbat Chol HaMoed. I'm saying the rabbinic interpretation that Shabbat is referring to the first day of Yom Tov is just as legitimate as any interpretation, because there's no pshat of Chumash what day to bring it on. Chumash is leaving that up to Am Yisrael. But the hint that God gave us is by inserting this laws of Omer, which could stand alone, and inserting it within the Moedim. But by definition, you can't count 7 weeks from your grain harvest and have an exact lunar date, because it's not dependent on the lunar date. But it makes sense, though, to link it to the first day of Yom Tov Chag HaMatzot, and that's exactly what we do. And in fact, the 16th of the month was the day we start counting, which goes back to the story of the manna, which began falling on the 16th of the month. So that's what I want to share with you on, let's go back to our other source sheet. What happened to it? I'm missing something. Oh, here we go. I'm sorry. Let's go back to up here. What do we have? That comes up. So again, the holidays and more, they follow the agricultural calendar. It's the first time we have the holidays with the lunar calendar. Each holiday shares those three ideas, but something special. What's ever special about it somehow relates to number seven in agriculture, be it the seasons, the spring, again, the grain, the beginning, end of the grain season, the fruit harvest, and the beginning of the rainy season. And everything revolves around the number seven. And just to put the highlight on the agricultural cycle, I'm going to share with looking at a Chumash again. I'll share my screen and we go back to Tanakh and let's look at Vayikra Chav Gimel. When Vayikra Chav Gimel is over and the holidays are over, look what the topic in Perach Chav Dalet is. Perach Chav Dalet, which beginning, at first it sounds like it's unrelated. We have the mitzvah of, in Perach Chav Dalet, we have the mitzvah of, about laying the menorah. Again, the seven, that relates to seven for sure as well. But the menorah is the Shemen Zayit. If you know the calendar in the land of Israel, the agricultural calendar, the last of the seven species are Zaytim. And Zaytim, the olive harvest continues even past Sukkot. Like it goes to Hanukkah time. That's a Mishnah in Bikurim. But the last of the Sheva meaning that we collect will be olives. And the grapes, the figs of the dates by Sukkot time, they're all finished. That harvest is over and we're making already wine and grapes and things and raisins and things like that. But the very end of our harvest is olives. So it makes sense that when the agricultural calendar is over, I go right to olives and lighting the menorah. There'll be a deeper reason. But for now, I just want to point that out real quickly, that the beginning of Perach Chav Dalet reads the Perach Chav Gimel in a very nice way. Now, I don't want to go too much into the structure by Ikra, it's why we have the Makalel here, that's a whole different story. We'll stop our share and I'll answer now questions. But again, just to summarize, I try to show you that Baikra is not only how to use the Mishkan, but the effect of the Mishkan on the camp. And our holidays are to remember, because our commerce is all built around agriculture, because Chumash is talking about an agricultural society, our fiscal year, the rhythm of that year, is based on nature and the seasons of the year. And therefore, in the critical times of the seasons, we gather together to remember the laws of the Torah and to remember not only that God's in charge of agriculture, but he judges us based on our deeds. And therefore, we have to gather together and learn his laws, you know, and teach the laws over and over again and emphasize that. And that explains why the number seven is so central in the Moedim in Perek Chaf Gimel, and why Chag HaMasvot is 7 days, and why Sukkot is 7 days, and why we have 7 weeks in between, and why the seventh month is so important. So I think that fits our title of number seven in Sefer Devarim. Let's take a look at the questions I met. I'll work backwards. Okay, that's a thank you. And here, Marty. If the Chag on Rosh Hashanah is so central to the cycle of seven, why isn't it called Yom HaDin in Chumash? Oh, it is sort of. I'll explain that in a minute. Indeed, it's surprising to see that Rabbi Sachs claims that the idea of Rosh Hashanah is the judgment day. It's a later development. Okay. When you say the word Zichron Terua, again, that this is a share. The question you're asking is actually a whole long share on Rosh Hashanah. But basically, in Dvarim, in Vayikra, it's called Zichron Terua. What do we do? It's the beginning of the seventh month, but it's the beginning of the rainy season. Because rainy season begins that time of year, you know, in the fall. And God looks over our land, remember, from the beginning of the rainy season to the end. God's in charge of the rain. But Zichron Tura, the word Zichron, if you go back to Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Yud, whenever there's war, what do? We blow shofar, we have Yom Tura, we blow a Tura to remember that God's judging us. Let me give you the quick example. Again, this is really a long share. I'll just give the really short version of it. If I go again to Bamidbar Perek Yud, where we were before, this is the idea that a Yom Tura and Zikaron go hand in hand. So should there be war, Kitav, should there be war in your land, whoever the enemy might be, okay? We're supposed to make a Tura sound with the trumpets. If war is about to break out and imminent, the assumption is God's bringing war as a wake-up call for us to do Tshuva. It's explicit in Shlomo's prayer when he dedicates the Mikdash. So the assumption that if war is imminent and we're about to be attacked by an enemy, that's a sign from God that he's not happy with our behavior. We need to gather together to remember, to ask ourselves, what are we doing wrong, and to do repentance. And if we do that, God promises, if we do proper tshuva, he'll come and save us. And therefore, what do? We don't blow shofar to wake God up. We wake shofar, right? We blow the chatzotzrot, we blow the trumpets to wake ourselves up, to remember that God judges us based on our deeds, and then he'll save us from our enemies. So just like God can use war as a tool, as a wake-up tool for our bad behavior, so that we do tshuva, God can use agriculture the same way. And therefore, when the agricultural year begins, a day of Zichron Tura, when we treat it as a war's breaking out, it's when you blow a shofar, and a shofar is a sign, it's like a reminder of war about to break out. So a Zichron Tura means to remember that you're being judged by God, even though it appears to be agriculture. God's behind it, just like here, even though it appears to be a foreign enemy, really God's behind it. So that's the idea of Zichron being a day of judgment. So when you use those psukim in Bamidbar, it makes sense that Chazal's interpretation makes stuff get a lot of sense. Let's go back to the next question. We're working backwards. No, I didn't want to stop the share. You got to go to chat. Chat, okay. William, can each begin with Vaydaber? Okay. That's a, from what I said, it would be enough for a Dibur by Rosh Hashanah to the end. Why need one for Yom Kippur? But that's a little more complicated. The Dibur by Yom Kippur is only half Dibur. It's not the full one. Sukkot is going to have, Sukkot has a new Dibur because Sukkot has a double. Sukkot's really complicated because it's presented twice. And because Sukkot is going to relate to, there's going to be a theme of Shabbatonim and a theme of Mikrei Kodesh, and the new Dibur has to do with the Shabbat element. Remember on Sukkot, it's 7 days. I mean, it's the first day and eighth day will be Mikrei Kodesh in the first section, and the first and eighth day will be a Shabbaton in the second section. But that's too complicated for now. That needs a whole hour share. Okay. And so we did this judgment. We did that one. Regarding the laws of Omer, why wait for the actual Shabbat that occurs over Pesach? We could, but I think it makes sense to connect it to Shabbat. I'm not saying that's the only way to interpret it. I'm saying it's just a legitimate interpretation. My whole point was inserting Omer in the Moedim, because I understand that God's telling us connect the Moedim to Omer. And hence, when it says it, Omer has to do with Shabbat because the number seven and grain is all about seven and Shabbat and the Omer and the manna experience. Why link it to the first day of Chag HaMatzot? Because it's inserted in that unit. And when you appreciate the insertion in the middle of the unit of the Moedim, even though it's not a classic Moed because it doesn't have a lunar date, then it makes sense why Chazal are going to link the Shabbat there for the first day of Yom Tov of Chag HaMatzot. I'm not saying it's the only logical interpretation, but it's definitely as logical as making Shabbat Chol HaMoed. Okay, now Enbin. It appears that in Shabbat and Kiddush, the order is Breshit. Zechem said Breshit. From Mikodesh Vayikra and Shmot. No. No, Zechem Mitzrayim is from Devarim. No, it's the Ten, Shabbat being Zechem Yitzrayim Mitzrayim is from the Ten Commandments in Devarim. Therefore, the order in Kiddush is Breshit. Zechem HaSeh Breshit is Shmot. Tchem Mikra Kodesh Vayikra. And Zechem HaSeh Mitzrayim is going to be the Ten Commandments in Devarim. So the order is that way. And then now let's get to Abad's question, which I didn't understand before. Oh, he has two questions. Celebrate Sukkot, Passover in 7 days, and Shavuot as 1 day. Oh, but how do we do the holidays outside of Israel? That's a whole different question. And within the holidays, in general, we celebrate the holidays outside of Israel. That's the famous Ramban, that we're only doing it to remember what to do when we come back. So the, whether the holidays outside the land of Israel, which don't fit into this agricultural calendar, why we celebrate them? Like, why? That's how you celebrate the Shoshar Galim in the Southern Hemisphere. Bichlal is everything is upside down and the seasons are different. And having this cycle, again, when having Chadash outside the land of Israel, when there's more than one agricultural cycle, grain cycle, also doesn't make much sense. So there's all these laws. There's just a bigger question of why we keep holidays outside the land of Israel when we're not living in an agricultural society, and even more so, even the land of Israel today when we're not living in an agricultural society anymore. But that's a question about the development of halakha. And therefore, you can take those ideas and apply it in any situation. But again, I'm giving the underlying reason of how the holidays began, how they develop over time. That's a topic for a much more complicated shiur. Okay, I think we answered all this. Okay, any other questions, Rabbi?
I don't think so. Okay. I do believe that the first question asked from the New World in the 17th century came was in Brazil. I remember I spoke about it before the Olympics in 2016. I think in 1654 was sent to, back to the, to Europe. What to do about when to say Mashiva Ruach? Do they switch it to, the summer, quote unquote, their winter, our summer, and all these questions? How does Atzei Shitimondim? What side is up and down, and the Etrog and the Lulav? All these wild questions that are very important that we sort of ignore, but people just say just do what they did, but it's
the Bible was made to be kept here. That's all.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we do it listen, our Mashiva Ruach here doesn't make sense either. That's the famous, the Rush tried to change that.
I use Mashiva Ruach to explain Israel's Corona rules lockdown.
I'm sorry?
I use Mashiva Ruach to explain Israel's rules now about the lockdown, about not people coming in from overseas. So there's one rule for Bavel. What happens? There's the law in Israel, the law for Bavel. And then once you for Bavel, then all Chutzlars has the Din of Bavel. So once Europe is red, so you're not going to make it plug this one, that one. So then everything's right.
Because, I mean, Canada cases are getting way higher, but they're still way lower than whatever it's.
It's a low plug. You saw this country, that country, yeah.
Yeah. Everyone Canada lifted its travel restrictions from Africa, which I think was a good move because it was kind of apartheid, just to ban Africa and nobody else. That's what Canada did. And, it's all over the place. I mean, either you ban everybody or you ban nobody. That's, I hear you.
Yeah, that's it. It's a low plug.
Yeah, low plug. But anyways, these questions are very interesting. We've totally lost the agricultural motif of the holidays. Maybe in Israel, I don't know, people, maybe in, especially in the non-observed, in the non-Orthodox community, maybe they do that much more with the Bikurim. I don't know. You can tell me, but, we seem to focus on the historical, not the agricultural.
The challenge of the rabbis is to take the idea, the core values still remain.
Correct.
And the idea that, that God judges us based on, you know, not only our agriculture, our whole economy, and our health, and our and politics, and wars, etc., is all based on our deeds. So we can take, we can, we have to, we need a booster shot of those ideas on a regular basis, on a like routine over the year, so I can take those ideas and apply them on Yom Tov.
And that's always the challenge of keeping the Torah relevant and modern and up to date. Yes, very good. Okay, please God, we'll see you next week, and we'll see everybody else next year. This week we have one shiur a day through Friday. Tomorrow, March, if you're a will, I'm 99.999% confident will be his last class in Shaul Lieberman. I was right, of course. I shouldn't say that, but last week was the second last class. Tomorrow will be the last class. We already have his next series coming up, but that we'll announce a little later. And then Tuesday, Jeremy England, his class on science, and Wednesday, Dr. Sokolow on the How Tanakh Evolved. And Thursday, this week's parsha will be given by Rav Aviyat Tabori, a neighbor of Rabbi Liebtag. I don't know if he's going to be in America. I assume he's going to be in America, or he's getting up at 3:30 in the morning. I don't know which one. But maybe it's recruiting season, although he can't come to America. So I don't know. Maybe he's planning to come to America. No, because all these people are here. They're doing recruiting now. This is the time they come. They do recruiting. I know they've been coming here to Toronto, but whatever. Anyways, Rabbi Wittemore, I know he will get, even if he's in Israel, I am quite confident he will have no problem getting up at 3 a.m. Well, maybe I'll ask him if he wants to switch. We'll see. But in the meantime, and then my shiur Friday morning, 9 a.m. on the Siddur. And we look forward to learning with you. And please invite a friend. And okay, good to see everybody. And everybody have a Shavuot Tov. Be well, be healthy. And we look forward to learning with you and all kinds of people as we move forward. Okay. And we work on our planning for 2022. All right. Thanks a lot.